St. Louis's newest attraction, the National Blues Museum, is now open on Washington Avenue in St. Louis. Celebrate the evolution of blues and its influence on modern-day music with interactive exhibits and live concerts from local, regional, and national acts. The museum will also display traveling exhibits, plenty of educational programming for all ages, as well as artifacts from famed artists such as B.B. King and Chuck Berry. The National Blues Museum, now open in the heart of downtown St. Louis.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. Welcome back to the program. Tim McKernan and Jimmy Cat Hayes, Doug Vaughn with you on the show. Here we have Matthew Barnaby. This segment, Kelly Chase at 9 o'clock. He's presented by GFI Digital. Barnaby, presented by the National Blues Museum. It's located at 615 Washington Avenue in downtown St. Louis. They have some great acts playing live there during the day. Tomorrow would be a prime opportunity to do so after you enjoy the Blues game, and the Cardinals will be playing right down the street against the Pirates. Interactive museum with videos and computer exhibits. They have a live music performance room with concerts on Saturday afternoons. It's open 7 days a week. The admission's $15, $12 for adults over 65, $10 for children ages 5 through 18. So if you're looking for something to do downtown, it's only been open a month, but it is getting great reviews. It's the National Blues Museum. Mention you heard about them on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and you receive a discount right there at the door. Tours are available for school groups and civic organizations. Check out their website, nationalbluesmuseum.org, for more information and to see their schedule of live performances. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as well. It's the National Blues Museum. We have the Lakeside Roofing exit poll, in addition the Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week, plus our email of the day, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. The prize is a $20 gift certificate to Bertarelli Cutlery. And right now, Stephen Wildwood is winning, and a lot of people are starting to talk about what he is doing in this email competition, especially in an era dominated by Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus, like we have with Cucky the Dwarf and Misty Plops. The focal point of the discussions today, however, of course, Game 4 of the Western Conference Semifinals. Blues losing in overtime, and we always enjoy getting the perspective of Matthew Barnaby, and he joins us right now on the Appliances Counter phone lines. Matthew, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you guys?
Man, honestly, a little down after that one. We've seen the Blues lose other postseason games here over the last few weeks, but that one stood out as the first one that they really gave away. What was your impression watching it?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head there. They didn't lose it. It wasn't taken away from them. They gave it away for most of the game, at least early on. They had the chance after the Tarasenko goal. They had a lot of opportunities to bury a very fragile Dallas Stars team, a team that has struggled on the back end, a team that has struggled with their goaltending. They had the opportunities to bury them. They did not do that. And when you say give it away, certainly the giveaways were part of the reason that they lost. And you can't beat yourself. And I think St. Louis played so well early on in that game and then got away from their game plan. Their neutral zone was terrific. They turned over a lot of pucks, creating a lot of opportunities. But unforced errors are just something that can't happen if you're going to have a successful team. And in this game, there's way too many unforced errors from the St. Louis Blues, especially their defense.
I also think one of the unintended consequences of not making your shots count, you had two goalies on tilt, and Lehtinen, to me, was kind of eased back into it, and then he ended up playing very well, and I think suddenly you have a goalie with a lot of confidence now that you're facing.
I'd agree with that. I think when we look at, you know, everything in the last couple days has been about their defense, their goaltending, and, you know, which way they were going to do. I think most of us thought that they would go back to Lehtinen. He's been kind of their number 1A, and Niemi's been their 1B, but confidence certainly had to be shaken after getting destroyed in Game 3. So the confidence is high now for Dallas. They're going back home. They have home ice again. Their goaltender played well, so you look at where they are today as they wake up in Dallas as opposed to where they were yesterday waking up in St. Louis. Two totally different mindsets. So this is worst-case scenario for a St. Louis team that was looking to take that next step.
We were talking earlier how a coach might handle Joel Edmondson. He had the giveaway that led to the Foxa goal. It really kind of turned the game. Do you put him back out there, or do you sit him for a game and risk burying him, or how do you think they'll handle that?
I think they'll keep him in. I've seen that clip probably 100 times now as I prepare for my show later on. I still don't understand what he was seeing. There was absolutely no one there to pass the puck to. So I don't understand it. I understand it's a fast game. This wasn't one of those plays. It was actually inexcusable because I don't understand what he was looking at as we review the tape. He played just over 10 minutes. I think they'll stick with him. The one thing I did like from the coaching staff, from the players, as you saw him make that mistake, is they really almost coddled him like a little kid and tried to stay with him. There's going to be mistakes. He's still a young guy. Just signed an extension with the team. But I think you play him still in a limited role. Your top four are your guys that are going to get you to the promised land if that's where you go. But I would stick with him because you're going to need him if you get through the series as you go through.
Another thing we were talking about earlier, we were a little surprised that in some of the post-game analysis, the blown kiss by Reeves was brought up as one of those things that somehow inspired the Stars. We never played in the NHL. We've covered a lot of sports. My thinking is something like that you don't even think about once the game starts, and it had zero impact on the game. What are your thoughts on that?
100%. It's funny you say that. In 97, I was playing with Buffalo and scored a tying goal with under a minute left against the Washington Capitals. I remember, I think, blowing a kiss or going up into the up against the glass and sticking my tongue out against a fan.
Nice.
I remember we ended up losing that game in overtime, and they said the same thing, that I propelled them to win. If you need a blown kiss or something like that to motivate you, you're in the wrong business. And once the game starts, if you're thinking about blown kisses and Ryan Reeves as opposed to Tarasenko and some of the other guys, you're probably not going to have success as it wears down. So I think that's more lip service than anything. I think it has absolutely nothing to do with the game. And I think that's just, if they would have lost, you would have never heard anything about it. But they won, so they can use it as motivation for,
but if they,
you know, almost tearing St. Louis apart. I think they think that that might have an effect, which it doesn't.
It's a fun, and I understand the television game, and because it's a good visual, and then you can build it up. We've seen that with other incidents and Cardinal-related stories here in St. Louis over the years. But it's not like the Stars came out with guns blazing. They were very fortunate they weren't down 2-0, 3-0 after that first period. They only got going not because of Ryan Reeves' kiss, but because of Joel Edmondson's giveaway in the second period.
Yeah, the kiss has nothing to do with how they lost, how it transpired. This was a giveaway. The St. Louis Blues beat themselves. They weren't beat, in my opinion, by the Dallas Stars. They beat themselves. They had total control of the game. They were controlling momentum. They score a power play goal, which was great, a great individual effort by Tarasenko on the first one on his breakaway, which I still don't know how he got that open with six guys on the ice, but that's a story for another day. They beat themselves. That's plain and simple. They had control of that game. Giveaways will kill you. Unforced errors will kill you. And if they don't find a way to clean it up, because that's the strength of the St. Louis Blues, is their blue line. And they cost themselves a game with some giveaways. So, like I said, I agree with you guys. The kiss has nothing to do with it. It was the giveaways that cost them that game more than anything.
And now you think a lot of this momentum will carry over? I know it's nice for Dallas to have home ice, but you know they'll get a big lift from that win, won't they?
They'll get a big lift. A lot of people don't believe in momentum. I think it has that. Obviously, going back home down 3-1 is a lot different than going back home tied 2-2. So I think you're going to see an emotional start to Dallas's game that can play into good, that can play into bad. Sometimes you open up a little bit, but certainly this was a huge win for Dallas. They have a little bit of the momentum. I still really like the Blues in this series. I think they're the better team. There's no Tyler Seguin still. I like the back end for St. Louis. I think they'll shorten up and go maybe even. I think they'll play Edmondson, but I think you look at that top four, top five, they're going to get a lot of ice time in that game five in Dallas. So I still like St. Louis. I'm not jumping off the bandwagon maybe like some people are. I think they're the better team, and I think they'll win the series.
I feel bad being afraid of the return of Sagan. It's almost like being afraid of a ghost because he may not even be close. And if he does come back, you know, he hasn't skated in a while. He might not be the same guy, but he's out there. There's a possibility that he plays. Am I wrong for fearing Sagan?
No, I'd be afraid, too. He's one of the best players in the National Hockey League. He is, with Jamie Benn, the best player on their team. So I'd be fearful, too. He is skating. But when you don't make the trip, usually you aren't that close. So I'd be surprised to see him in Game 5. But if he does come back in the lineup, even if he just plays the power play, he makes that power play so much better. They scored their first power play goal of the series with Sharp scoring that goal on the Backus trip right near the bench. But this team, you know, lives and dies pretty well with their power play, which has struggled. So for them to only have one power play goal through four games, if you do get the opportunity to get a guy like Tyler Seguin back into the fold, it just makes them that much stronger. But I don't think he's going to play Game 5, but I'm with you. If he does play, I know there'll be a lot of St. Louis Blues fans out there that have the same feelings that you do.
Watching the game last night, we thought that the Blues looked a little gassed in the third period. We weren't the only ones to take note of that. Did you see that, too, that it looked like fatigue had kicked in a little for the Blues?
I didn't think they were that bad. I didn't think they were as physical as we've seen them in the past, whether it was the mindset not to be as physical or whether they were a little fatigued. I don't think they're that tired. I really thought it was a mindset that they didn't finish off a Dallas Stars team when they had a chance, and I thought Dallas just took it up another level once they felt, you know, they got those turnovers, they got those two quick goals. It almost seems like the effect of those two goals really, really got to the St. Louis Blues, and they stopped skating more than fatigue. I thought it was a mental thing more than anything. They played a little bit cautious instead of just going for it. So I thought Dallas fed off it. I thought they found a way, obviously, to win. But certainly I thought it was just more of St. Louis's undoing rather than Dallas doing great things.
Matthew Barnaby, our guest on the Appliances Counter Phone Lines. You are listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and InsideSTL.com. Matthew brought to you by the National Blues Museum, downtown St. Louis at 615 Washington Avenue. The guy who has gotten most of the criticism around St. Louis, Matthew, for the duration of the postseason so far, talk about 11 games, is Jay Bouwmeester. Have you observed anything with Bouwmeester, whether it be in the Blackhawks series or in the Stars series, where you're seeing anything that looks off to you?
You know what, I Jay Bouwmeester, I always expect more. Maybe that's just because he's such a big player, he's such a great skater. Maybe I expect a little bit more from, they're still a great shutdown pair in Petrangelo, maybe because he's taken it to a new level, a level that we haven't seen probably since the last Olympics. He's been that good for the St. Louis Blues. We probably expect a little bit more from Jay Bouwmeester. I don't think he's been bad. I don't think he's been great. I just think his D partner has been so good. I'd love to see him add a little bit more to the offensive side of the game because of the way that he skates, and there was times early in that game yesterday, especially, that he got moving in the offensive zone. He started contributing offensively. It didn't finish off with a goal, but I think he has the attributes to be able to add a little bit more to the offensive side of the puck. So he's not a physical guy. He's a big guy, a great skater. I just think we expect a lot more from Jay Bouwmeester than maybe he is. He's still a very good player, but I think we have to take for what he is. He's a big guy that skates well, not overly physical, and doesn't put up a ton of points, but in a shutdown role can do a pretty darn good job. And I think he's been okay. I think he's been probably good, just not great.
Yeah, he and Petrangelo do seem to get most of the minutes when the other team's stars are out there. And they've done a decent job. Ben only has one goal in the series, got three assists. And they also did a pretty good job against Chicago's big hitter. So I guess maybe that's kind of a thankless job where you're so often out there against the best the other team's got to throw at you.
Yeah, that's the matchup they want. I mean, every time that they're on the ice, and we see the hard matchup that they're trying to get. They love getting Steen line out there with them. They almost attack them at five at home. Now I think we'll see that disappear a little bit, like we did, I believe, in Game 2 with Dallas trying to get them away. As much as Dallas, you know, wants to get that away, they're going to be a little cat and mouse game trying to get Bouwmeester and Petrangelo back out against that Ben line in Dallas. It's a little harder when you don't have the last change. And I thought Parayko really struggled. I thought that pair struggled in Dallas at times. Not they didn't play bad, but I thought they struggled at times against the Ben line. And that was a matchup that Dallas really, really liked. So that's something to look for in Game 5, how they're able to get that matchup that they want, and if Dallas is able, because of the home ice, to really get that hard matchup in getting away from Pietrangelo and Bouwmeester.
Matthew Barnaby, our guest here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Very quickly, I'm sure many went to bed before it came to a conclusion last night, but the other Western Conference semifinal, classic, three overtimes. And the Predators were fighting for their lives, and they even it up, winning in triple overtime over the Sharks. So all home teams have won all the games so far in that series. What do you think about whoever would emerge from this Blue Star series? Who do you think they're going to see on the other side of the bracket?
I would have said San Jose, and I thought San Jose kind of got robbed yesterday. I thought that Pavelski goal in overtime was a goal. It was called back, called goaltender interference, and no penalty on the play, but they come back. Mike Fisher scores his second of the game. You know what? I honestly picked San Jose to win in six. I'm still going to stick with that, but the more I look at it, it looks like it's going to be a seven-game series. Pretty tight. Nashville really feeding off their crowd, so this could be a homer series, and for that, I'm going to stick with San Jose, but tremendous game. The crowd in Nashville has been absolutely amazing for a non-traditional market. People that haven't tuned into that series really should, because I don't know if I've heard a louder crowd that is going on in Nashville right now. Is there at the All-Star game, and they're certainly excited about the playoffs, but they're taking it to a new level. So we knew the West was going to be a battle. Whoever got through the first round, it was going to get tougher and tougher, and we're seeing that. Two very even series, two totally different series, but should be a fun final week to see who gets to battle out for the Western Conference Championship.
Matthew Barnaby, you can hear him on SiriusXM. He's a 14-year NHL veteran and a regular here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, brought to you by the National Blues Museum at 615 Washington Avenue, nationalbluesmuseum.org, nationalbluesmuseum.org. Matthew, always great to hear from you, man. Thank you so much for the time.
Good luck, and thanks, guys. I'm sure I'll be on after this series, so good luck, and go St. Louis for everyone out there cheering.
We appreciate
it. Right, thank
that.
You much.
Thank you. It's Matthew Barnaby with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, joining us on the Appliance Discounter phone line. Yeah, he's a great guest. Despite the Blues losing last night, he's still bullish on their chances and still picks them to win this series. I do, too. And if, you know, I'm certainly not always in the home team's camp, but that's how
but
I see it.
But you're a sharp.
I don't know if I'm a sharp. I just, I bet against the public oftentimes, I suppose, in the NFL, but I just think they're a better team. So it would be really tilting, kind of be like a Cardinals-Giants playoff series. I don't know if I feel like the Giants were the better team in any of the NLCSs that they beat the Cardinals in 2002, 12, and 14, but they did. So, you know, it would be really disappointing, because this year the opportunity is certainly there for the Blue. It's not like, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, San Jose played some great hockey. They got past the Kings. Nashville is a damn good team, but there isn't a Washington Capitals or Pittsburgh Penguins waiting in the Western Conference Finals. So the Blues' opportunity to get to the Stanley Cup Finals, which almost sounds odd to even talk about. For me, it does. Does it sound that way to you?
Yeah. Like it's not even something that could be really
real.
Even possible.
Yeah, is real. Yep. It really is real. And
back to the favorites now at this point.
They were. They won't be anymore, especially with Pittsburgh up 3-1. Those move each day based on what the other series are doing, because once a team is that close to their respective conference final, their chances, of course, are greater. But, yes, 2 days ago, they were the favorite. And, you know, it's there. And hell, I still would say that I would pick them to go to the Stanley Cup Finals, because the other three teams also are dealing with 2-2s. I suppose the Stars in San Jose have the edge because they have home ice, if you view it that way. But home ice has not been a determining factor. If you look at the games and the results so far in the Stanley Cup playoffs in 2016.
When you see the way the Blues pushed back when they had to against the Blackhawks, it's
grit.
Easy to believe that they lost last night, but they'll get it back on track, and they'll reestablish themselves in the series. I feel bad. Maybe it's just based on past postseasons where something goes wrong. But one of the big differences between the Blues and the Stars in the series has been efficiency on the power play. And then all of a sudden, if Sagan comes back and he is on their power play, that's a game changer. I don't know why I'm afraid of that. But
no, it'll be.
Doug, this is Bob, and he is on the Appliance Discounter phone lines.
Hello, Bob. Hello, Robert.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
How are you this morning?
Fine. You?
Oh, doing quite well. Just driving through my wonderful city. I saw you guys, saw me yesterday morning.
Why were you carrying a quilt, Bob? Bob, you were carrying
so
a quilt.
So we were doing the show from Washington Avenue yesterday for Cinco de Mayo, and we noticed there was a gentleman carrying a quilt and a Rams golf bag. And this is the gentleman.
Yes.
He turned out to be a listener
correct.
On the program.
Not homeless, like it was presumed, but that's kind of you to think.
Well, so what, were you listening at the time, or did you go back in PLTD?
What was that?
Were you listening live at the time, or did you go back and podcast like the Dickens?
I podcast like the Dickens. Actually, my roommate is one of your former employees, Nick Barnhart, and so he listened in the morning and said, hey, check it out. You were on there. So
how about that, Doug?
It's unfortunate that you guys caught my Rams bag, though. Yeah. I got to get rid of that thing.
Well, why the quilt? Why?
You know what? I'm actually moving, but if I would have known you guys were there, Doug, I would have came by. We could have snuggled. It would have been wonderful.
Well, I wasn't interested in snuggling. Why did you have your golf clubs with you?
Just bringing stuff across the street. I'm moving an apartment, so.
Oh, you're moving right there, right
but,
across the street.
I figured, why not get a few extra rounds in?
Yeah, I understand. That. Is Nick pissed that you're moving out?
Who?
Is Nick pissed that you're moving out?
No, we're actually moving to another place. So.
You and Nick are staying together.
Oh yeah, it's we're a tight group here.
And you're moving.
You guys promote, right?
You're moving two items at a time. Yesterday, I'll take a blanket and the golf clubs. Then you'll go back maybe tomorrow and get a spatula and a shoehorn.
The blender. Maybe.
Yeah, you know, just the necessities.
Is the new place bigger? And will you have room for Doug if he does want to stop by?
Yeah, Doug, come by anytime. We got plenty of space for you, all right? I got the quilt on standby.
Well, I appreciate That's nice. Your hospitality, but I'm really not that interested in bunking up with a couple of fellows.
That's all right. Tim?
Yeah, I'm in. Yeah, I'm in.
How about you? Doug?
No, I'm not in.
If
I'm
you
not
about
interested.
It, sometimes you'll get a different answer.
I'm not interested in bunking with a couple
what
of fellows.
What if you phrase the question differently? Hey, there seems to be plenty of room at the new place. Doug, any interest?
No, thanks. I'm not interested.
Yeah, Doug, we could use some help with the boxes.
I'm not interested.
Nah.
You didn't have any boxes yesterday. You just had two items. And it's going to take you forever if you move two items at a time.
We'll get them for you.
I don't know what that means.
They'll get the boxes. I'm not going to pack for you.
Doug, you're really letting me down.
Well,
you're letting down the city of St. Louis.
I agree with that.
Sorry.
I agree with that. Thank you, Bob.
Well, good luck with the move, Bob.
Thank you, gentlemen. Take care.
Okay.
Bye, Bob. I like Bob.
Bob started to get on my nerves a little bit.
What? He's a fan.
He wants me to move him.
I wanted to snuggle, really. That was the end goal.
Guys, if Manchild 79 rejects a last, does he tell her to holla at your toy? That comes from Giggle Pops.
Now, why do you look at me like I have some idea what Manchild would say to this
guy? Because you're a smart guy.
I don't know what he says.
Bob, you should have an orgy before you lock up the old place. Thanks, Zambo. Yeah, I guess that's right. I guess that's what you do before you move?
No, what you do is you look at whatever damage you've done, like holes in the wall, and you take a little toothpaste. You don't even need spackle. Put a little toothpaste on there, a little touch-up paint. It holds for a week until you need to get your deposit.
Spackle's probably cheaper than toothpaste.
Well, you got toothpaste lying around. You might not have spackle.
Well, I've got spackle.
Hey, guys, don't you think it's just hard to not be doom and gloom with this team's history?
No.
It's from the Johnny's Market meat bank later.
Oh, the Johnny's Market's not even there anymore. They're tearing it down. So sad.
That's why I'm afraid of Sagan coming back and getting a Hattie.
I mean, you can talk
like
yourself.
Like a mirage. He's a mirage.
You can talk.
He could be a mirage.
You can talk yourself into being depressed about the team. They lost a game. Okay.
Thanks, Doug. I still think they're going to win.
I do, too.
I legitimately do. Last year with the Wild, you were preaching optimism, and it didn't look real good for some reason.
Bad matchup.
Buzzsaw. But I don't know. This would be a real disappointment because I do think they're the better team. And they really gave one away last night. Didn't play well and still had it there.
It was kind of a stunning loss because they seemed so in control of things. Right there until early in the second period. the first period, you thought, well, they're going to win this game, win it just like they did the last one. This might be another 6-1 type of game. Yeah. And then it just turned on a dime.
Jaime's fielding of the bunt. Lance Lynn's throw into center field. Mm-hmm. Johnny Gomes' home run.
Well, no, that's another sport. Same kind of way, yeah, that it turned around.
Analogy. Pay attention, Roman. Thank you. Pay attention, Roman. Hey.
Now, how about the coaches' interviews? Like, a lot of people love to kill that. Hitch always says something great. Last night he said, well, it's like both teams are waiting for the fight to begin. We're in our building. We might as well throw the first dang punch or whatever he said. He always says something that's colorful.
Mm-hmm.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's a great soundbite.
That reminds me, it's time for the Lakeside Roofing Exit Poll.
Oh.
The people I've spoken to just cannot believe the exit poll.
This is the Lakeside Roofing Exit Poll.
Just like any other poll, it has a range of error one way and the other.
Family owned for 40 years, lakesideroofing.com.
This exit poll is right. I will publicly eat my hat.
Lakeside Roofing, the sponsor of our exit poll every Friday here on the Ryan Kelly Morning. Just kind of got a gauge for where everybody is, okay? Plow Shark, can I get your answers on these as well?
Absolutely, buddy.
All right, there it is. Doug, let's start with the obvious one. Okay. I'm curious where everybody is.
All right.
What will be the result of a Blues and Stars series, and in how many games?
Well, I believe when the series started, I said Blues in six. I'm going to stick with it. Blues in six.
I said Blues in seven.
I'm going to say Blues in six, too. I'm going to say Blues in six, too. I said Blues in five last week, and I just can't stick with that.
Okay.
Plow Shark.
I got Blues in seven because I have a hunch that Sagan's going to make a glorious return in one of these games.
Mm.
Now you're scaring me.
Well, I was reading in the Dallas Morning News. They said not only is he dealing with that Achilles, but now he has a new injury. Of course, it's
a mystery injury.
It's always mysterious in April and May.
I would think he's probably not going to play.
You know what he is? He's a ghost.
If he was close, he's such a good player. If he was close, he'd probably be out there. I mean, it must just be totally impossible for him to play now.
There comes a point
now.
Where you're close, but you're not close enough to play, and then you pass that threshold, and then you do.
Well, but if to pass that in another day or not, I just kind of doubt we'll see him.
Question number two, and it's a two-parter. Is that all right?
Well, I don't usually take two-part questions, Tim.
I'm fine with it.
Thank you, the cat. 2A, is David Backes back in 2016-17?
I sincerely hope so. I think he will be. I think he's kind of the heart and soul of the team.
The cat.
I think he will be. I think he's already proven his worth, but a lot of the chapters to the story, a couple of them may be yet to be written. So, but I would say at this point, I'll say yes.
What a playoff season he's having.
Yeah.
Holy moly. I think he will be back. I don't know. That's where I am.
Boy, I hope he is.
And then here's 2B. Will Ken Hitchcock be back? I don't think he would have had a choice if they lost to the Blackhawks. Now I would think he would have a choice.
I think if he wants to be back, he will be back.
Oh,
that's
I don't think so.
If he wants to be back, but
how could you possibly come to the conclusion that he's just not getting it done? Let's let him go.
Well, I mean, if this series goes the other way, I'm not saying it will. I pick the Blues to win. Maybe they have second thoughts. A team that they seem to be have the edge on, that they seem to be better, and they're bounced. I don't know. But at this point, I would say if he wants to come back, which I'm not certain he does,
I think they lose the Blackhawks, he's gone, whether he wants to be or not, and whether it's right or not also. I think those things are nuanced, and I just don't think it's, you know, like you look at Bruce Boudreau with the Ducks. I mean, they won four straight division titles, but they also lost, what was it, four straight game sevens in their own building? Is that what it was? I mean, that's, wow. You want to talk about a horror. It's like the Blues in game fives in their building, but game sevens? In your own building, especially when there is a sample size that dictates home ice and the importance of that in Game 7, that's brutal. So, you know, I think if Hitchcock wants to come back, he's back. I just don't know, and it hasn't been discussed, but if they lose to the Blackhawks, I don't think he has a choice. Now I think he has a choice. Cardinal over-under win total, I'm going to ask it every week, is 87.5 over-under. Are you both still on the over?
I'm still on the over, Tim.
Over.
I'm still on the over.
And I say that because I believe the starting rotation will get better. I believe that Wainwright will fix it. Maybe that makes me a rights holder, and I'm waiting to see the good part of Leak.
Yeah. I am still on the under. Plowshark, I didn't ask you about Backes and Hitchcock, so I got three questions for you. Backes back, Hitchcock back, Cardinal over-under.
Backus, there's a lot of factor. Do you keep Shattenkirk long term? What Schwartz going to want with his new deal? Because I think he's priority number one. And does Backus want somewhere in the range of $7 million a year? All those factors in. I say he doesn't come back, but you never know. I say you let him go, in my opinion. Although this playoff has been fantastic.
Don't argue with yourself.
And Hitchcock, I guess it's really up to him now. Even if we lose the next two games and get ousted, I still think there's an opportunity for him to come back. And 83 wins for the Cardinals.
Cardinals will be an 83-79 team, according to the Plow Shark.
I think they're better than that. I don't think they played very well here the first 5 weeks. I think they'll be a lot considerably better than they've shown.
Doug, the presidential race, we now have our presumptive nominees. Uh-huh. Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, who are you voting for and who wins?
I would vote for anyone other than Hillary Clinton. Anyone at all.
Even me?
I would vote for you over Hillary Clinton.
Oh, my God. Yes. You might want to consider being the third-party candidate.
So I'd say, if those wind up being the choices, I would vote for Trump over Hillary, yes.
If I do run, my two planks of my platform will be no ATM fees. I'm going to make that illegal.
Wow.
Okay, I'm
okay.
Going to bring that back. That
big moneymaker for the banks.
Also, if you buy an Xbox One, you get two free controllers. The government will subsidize a second controller for you.
Jeez.
I'm against big government, but this seems to be a right thing.
You going to answer the question or not?
I honestly don't know. If I'm being totally honest, there's a chance I don't vote. There's a slight chance I would vote for Hillary. I'm leaning, if I had to vote, I think I would go with Trump because I really don't like Hillary. But I might end up not voting, which says a lot about my disdain for what we've seen in politics. I think it's tough to handicap who will win because I give Trump credit for this. When he starts focusing on one opponent and attacking them, they tank.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter who it is. They will tank. So all these polls that he can't beat Hillary, once he really starts getting his pound of flesh from her, that could change. He's good at it, and people seem...
Who do you think is going to be his running mate?
I have no idea.
I feel confident on a play, and some people say there's no way, but I think I... Do you guys have a...
Condoleezza Rice?
The cat?
I think that would be a good play. If he could somehow... And Kasich has put out there no, but if he could get Kasich...
He's the favorite. Per Bovada.
He's already said things that he's not interested. He doesn't like Trump. He doesn't believe in Trump. If Trump could convince Kasich, that's who I would go with. But I think Condoleezza Rice would be a heck of a play.
I'm not saying he should do this. Again, from all my, I'll make it clear if I'm telling you what I would like to see. These are just analysis because, Donald Trump is not going to be somebody I would vote for. But I think he's going to get Rubio. That's what I think. And I know you'll go, my God, after the little Marco stuff.
Well, he's desperate to win Florida.
I think that's what he's going
to
do.
He's trying to make nice, and apparently Rubio
is doing the same.
Hasn't killed him, yeah. So maybe there's some traction.
Senator
there.
Paul Ryan yesterday, Representative Ryan, excuse me, saying yesterday that he would not, at this moment, endorse him. If I had to vote, I would vote for Hillary, which is something like Carl Ellen yesterday. I thought those words would never come out of my mouth. I'm still hoping for a deus ex machina to appear, but I don't know if that's possible.
I could be that option.
I guess you're the guy now, and I do like that ATM fee thing. I do a lot.
That's not the president's choice. That's the bank.
It doesn't matter. Executive order. Yep. I'll have a pen and a phone.
Yep. So he can get that done.
I don't think you can.
And Congress will not cross me because you know what I'll do? I'll build a wall around Congress if I have to. And you know who's gonna pay?
Congress.
People from Norway. I'm going to make people from Norway.
I've kind of had about enough of them, too. And who wins, I would bet on Hillary. So these are things that, again, I am hoping for a got out of a machine, Doug. Something to save us. Plow Shark, where are you on this?
You know what, Timmy? I can't believe I'm going to say it, but I dislike both candidates equally. But for the basis of good sound bites, I'm going to vote for Trump.
That's how great decisions are made, sir.
Yeah.
I mean, in fairness, I would usually attack something like that, but I don't think it's possible to make a great decision with this process.
No.
Is there?
It's frightening who the two candidates are.
No matter who you vote for, you're going to have to hold your nose a little bit.
Yeah.
Unless you vote for me. And we get rid of ATMs. Let's be honest, all right? The bank said, hey, we're going to put these ATMs in there, and what it's going to do, it's going to lower costs for you, the consumer. Then they realize we can make a lot of money. We're going to put a lot of fees on there. It's costing consumers money now. I'm going to use my pen and my phone. I'm going to do away with it.
Why don't you just make French fries free then?
Woo!
You know, all fries are free, no matter where you go.
I'm gonna consult with my my staff and see where that takes us.
Plowshark, who wins the election? Not who you vote for, who wins the election?
I think Trump got it wrapped up.
I think he may, too. I think he just may win the thing.
Think about this, though. He is like the Terminator. I'm talking about the guy, the Schwarzenegger character, that he's in a giant truck that they blow up and there's flames and he walks away from it. Mm. I mean, he got attacked by the left, by the right, by special. I mean, everyone was just lobbing grenades at him, and he walked right through it, and his popularity started getting back on track.
I know. We're so much into the celebrity culture in this country now. It doesn't matter if he's qualified or not. It's, oh, sure, I watched him on TV for a long time.
So what happens to all these pundits, and that goes for the folks on the left and the right that said Trump has no chance, and all of a sudden there's Trump. So you know what they do? They blame the American voter for being stupid. That's what they're doing now.
Right. Yeah. Well, there aren't many candidates that have supporters lined up for blocks and blocks and blocks and sell out every time he gives a speech. There's something going on there.
I think folks just want a leader that doesn't care about political correctness. And I think a lot of people that support Trump realize, oh, he's flawed. He's very flawed. But a lot of it has to do with the other side, Hillary. They don't like her.
I think a lot of people like an authoritarian figure. They want someone who is definitely in charge and will throw their weight around the global stage. A lot of people really like the idea of a very strong leader.
Who loves Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Because it's great.
Yeah. Pennsylvania. Whether you like the way he leads or not, and I expect a lot of people will say, heavens no, but there is something to that authoritarian figure that people
did
like.
Did you see what he tweeted out? Okay, it's Cinco de Mayo, and his way of embracing Latino culture is to say, I love Hispanics, and someone takes a picture of him and a taco bowl prepared by one of the restaurants in his building.
That'll swing the vote.
I love Hispanics. Look, I'm eating a taco bowl. It's like he's a parody of himself.
Yeah. And it's working.
Because I think there's a lot of things that people, even in spite of stuff, find him attractive. Part of that, I agree. They want a leader who isn't going to kowtow to everyone.
And, Kat, I didn't know if you saw this on the tweet. Somebody actually called Trump Restaurant or Trump Cafe, and they actually don't even have that on the menu. So you're saying they have the best taco bowls in the city, and they don't even actually offer taco bowls.
Well, maybe they do on Cinco de Mayo.
Currently, per 270towin.com, which is projecting the Electoral College. That's why when you hear, you know, Hillary or Trump, whatever lead they may have, Hillary has like a 14-point lead right now nationally. I mean, it really doesn't matter. It's all about the Electoral College. And Clinton is projected to have 300 and Trump 109. 270 gets you the W.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting they have Missouri up in the air. Let's see that.
Well, I mean, I think this is as difficult to handicap as any race because you have a sector.
I mean, Missouri's going to go Trump.
Except that there's so many people that are conservatives that are in the never Trump camp. So how do you handicap that? And I think there's going to be a lot of independents that you would never think would vote for a Republican that for whatever reason find him appealing. I think it's hard to handicap.
I think a lot of those conservatives that are in the never Trump camp are some of the Republican establishment figures, and that's exactly who people are voting against. That's who the masses don't want anymore.
Except if you do the math and you look at where he has to win, they're going to need support from all Republicans and a wide swath of independents for him to get it done. And if any of them sit it out, which could happen with the establishment people.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to sit it out if you're them, because you can't cast a vote for Hillary Clinton. You've got to be kidding me. The Republicans have just got to be losing their minds over the fact that the Democrats put up perhaps the worst candidate they've ever put up, and she might win the thing.
Yep.
How would you characterize what the Republicans are doing?
That's what I'm saying. I'm sure they just can't believe
that's what he's saying.
How this has happened.
Well, but that's what I was. I mean, it's worst candidate the Republicans are ever put.
But that's the whole point.
Same thing.
Yeah. That's the whole point, is that this should be a relatively easy win for the Republicans, but you have such a flawed candidate that he might not be able to capture.
The Cat, you are the biggest pansy ever. Answer a question straight for once. That's from Big Hoss. I don't know what question you didn't answer, though.
Sorry.
Who he was going to vote for.
Who you're voting for?
Yeah. I don't know yet. I haven't, honestly, I haven't decided. Do I have to decide today?
Big Hoss says yes.
Well, I'm sorry, Big Hoss.
With a gun to my head, I could not punch a Hillary Clinton vote. I couldn't do it.
Well, if there's a gun to my head, I could.
I wouldn't do it.
Honestly, come election day, there's a good chance I sit it out. I don't know.
Well, there may be a lot of people do that.
That's the truth. I don't know yet.
Yeah, the Republicans, I think, had an election gift wrapped to them.
Agreed.
And Trump just destroyed everyone in the field.
I see on Twitter from people that somehow I'm cast as a Trump guy, which I'm not.
People are tweeting about your politics?
Yeah, I saw a couple of them, like a Cat and some about being a Trump guy. I'm not.
No, but that's what the Hillary. Left will do. The left will try to paint anyone who says that they might be for Trump. Oh, well, that makes you a racist, too. And that's kind of what they do.
Look, I do like a taco bowl. Let's be clear about that.
Don't we all?
You like a taco bowl?
I'm okay with it.
Don't we all?
I'm okay with it, yeah.
What you can do is you can break off the crispy shell and scoop a little if you want.
There's some scoopage. Sure, there is.
This is the weirdest election, I will say, from a personal standpoint outside of what's best for the country, which is important to me. There's going to be a lot of entertainment from this.
Mm-hmm.
And I will miss Bernie.
Yeah, I think we'll all miss Bernie.
You know who I think is probably kicking himself? Want to take a guess?
How about Romney? We're not
That's possible, but I'm thinking along the same lines, just other side.
Biden?
I think he could have won.
Yeah, he could have, but I think when you go up against that machine, it's going to take a toll on you. And
he would have wound up dead somewhere. Everyone else does who opposes Hillary Clinton.
Oh, my goodness.
Barack wound up in the White House. 314-880-0808, 314-880-0808. DraftKings is where you can play daily fantasy sports. God, you know what? Let me tell you something, Doug, because we're in the fantasy game. Southside Seamen have already won our Yahoo League, so you ought to focus on DraftKings.com. What we're doing is historic. But I put together a team last night that killed it. I was very high on the Rockies Giants putting up big runs last night, so I stacked. That's what they call it. They stack it.
Stack the Rockies Giants.
But I didn't check the starting lineups, and they didn't start Hunter Pence, and so I left a void there. And had I gotten just average production out of that spot, I would have been in the top 50. Could have had a shot to win it if I would have put one of the Giants or Rockies in there. Ugh, so I missed out there. I got nobody to blame but myself. It's daily fantasy sports at DraftKings.com. You experience the thrill of one-week fantasy golf every week at DraftKings.com. Amazing prizes up for grabs each time you play. And playing is easy. Just pick six golfers before a tournament tees off. Stay under the salary cap and rack up points based on how your players perform, outscore the competition, and win. Whether you're a total golf enthusiast or you just love the thrill of fantasy sports, DraftKings brings the excitement of the game to a whole new level. With every monster drive and made putt bringing you closer to payday, choose from all kinds of sports to showcase your winning skills. Baseball, soccer, even MMA. Millions of sports fans just like you have discovered the magic of DraftKings. Now it's your turn. Use code 920 at DraftKings.com and play for free with your first deposit in a fantasy golf contest with $400,000 in prizes. The top prize is $100,000, so you could seriously cash in. That's code 920 to play for free and a shot at the $100,000 top prize only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. We will be joined by Kelly Chase coming up at 9 o'clock. We will, most of the program, minus the Lakeside Roofing Exit Poll, has been Blues and Stars. So Chase brought to you by GFI Digital coming up at 9 o'clock. There is something to look forward to this evening in St. Louis, and that is the return of David Freese as a Pittsburgh Pirate, his first time back in St. Louis since leaving after the 2013 season.
He may get the biggest ovation of a returning player ever.
He will. I have no doubt about it. I tweeted out that I think that it'll rattle windows all the way to Eureka.
I don't know.
It'll be that loud.
I think it will.
And mini cams will whir.
They don't even have to whir. They don't make a noise anymore. They just don't. I mean, plus they're not called minicams and haven't been for about 30 years.
I'm surprised Freeze hasn't called in to say, hey, I'm in town.
I don't think that that's going to happen.
Still got the Tease Farms 9 o'clock hour.
It's just not going to happen.
Loves the show?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either on that
one. You
don't
think he podcasts?
I think he likes to sleep.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah. Well, I can't imagine who would get a bigger ovation returning
Albert
to
Pools.
St. Louis. Pools would probably be the only other possibility.
Maybe Salas.
I don't think Salas necessarily.
If he got me bat.
I just don't know.
So you admit it could be Salas.
I don't think it's going to be Salas.
But
no.
You admit it could be.
No, it couldn't be. It could not be Salas.
314-880-0808.
But it'd be between Freeze and Salas.
No, between Freeze and Pujols. Between Freeze and Pujols. And there might be some still a smattering to say, boo, Albert, you left us.
Why do you hate Daniel Descalzo?
What?
You didn't put him in your...
No, I don't think he'd get as big an ovation as Freeze or Pujols.
Boy, the hatred is palpable. What'd he ever do to you?
Hey, boys. Fell asleep during the final period last night and just woke up to political banter. When is the parade down market starting? Thank you. That's from Dougie Oduya.
I think that'd be middle of June.
I got it at June 9th. And it looks like it's going to be over the Penguins now. Maybe it'll be over the Ning?
Could be. It'll be over someone, though, won't it, then? Thank you.
Guys, I bet Spezia would get a standing go. Thanks, Mrs. Jenny Shanahan.
He probably would.
He was back.
They liked
him. But they didn't announce him or anything.
He wasn't back as an opposing player, right?
Right, no. He was just kind of hanging around, and he was just there, kind of. Felt bad for him.
As a fan.
What about the ovation Colby Rasmus will get, guys? Thanks.
I like Colby. I thought he was a nice kid. I thought people in the media sort of attacked him.
Joshua
he was
got
gone.
Him. Joshua snagged him.
Yeah, he did. He was a nice kid.
Mm-hmm.
He was a War Damn Eagle.
I don't know if the media really went after him, did they?
I heard people saying he was a dumb kid or whatever. He might have been stubborn. He might not have taken his cues from the veterans as well as he should have. But he was a nice kid, talented player. Just never came together for him.
Yeah.
Guys, I saw Spezio selling popcorn in the 300s, and I gave him a standing ovation.
You didn't.
That's another guy. We've had a lot of friends of the show where it's like it's a quick romance, and then it's over.
Go.
You know?
Yeah.
Keith Kachuk. Now he won't come on this show, but he'll go on every other show. Freeze, who loves the show.
He doesn't.
Holiday, used to love the show and be...
He ran the other direction in spring training.
Yeah, Matt the Bat. He almost wanted a scrap, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I was up for it.
What do we do that we befriend these guys and then they turn their backs on us?
We like, talk nonsense. I
like
think that's
Paulie and Goodfellas. Now I got to turn my back on you.
Yep. Ray Liotta, sir. Henry Hill. Wonderful.
All right. Well, you hear some of the banter on this show and you have to really wonder what we do to alienate people. I don't think there's any question about that.
Doug, this is Morning Commute.
Hello, Morning Commute. Hello, Morning.
Good morning, fellas.
Yeah, what kind of a name is that?
What's that?
What kind of a name is Morning Commute?
Well, that happens to be what I am doing and what I do in the morning when I share my morning commute with you guys on the radio.
Okay. We just like a normal name, so we
know who you are. You can call yourself whatever. We appreciate you listening. Thank you.
What's your name?
Hey, that's what I listen. Oh, my name's John, and first-time caller.
Welcome to the show.
Well, hello, Johnny.
Welcome to the show, yeah. I've been listening for about a year now.
Okay.
What do you think? What do you
better
think?
When Martin...
So, hey, I was at the Blues game last night, and I'm walking along Clark, and I'm walking beside the hashtag Bang Guy from Dallas.
What guy? Bang Guy? What's that?
He's the guy behind the goal at the game with the hashtag Bang sign that you can't miss.
Well, I've missed it. Sorry.
Oh, well, you won't miss it on Saturday because he'll be in the same seat at the Stars game on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I totally put the fix in, Doug. I told him he needs to make a fix, free Dotem sign.
You think he'll do it?
I think he will.
No, it'd be disappointing.
He will be back here on Monday. I told him I was going to call into the show. I told him the whole background story. I told him about the log. I told him about Dotem being exceptionally vile.
That's right.
And how he earned a lifetime suspension.
You're correct.
I told him about the golf tournament. Okay.
Did you tell him that that Dotem also worked tirelessly behind the scenes to get a new stadium built to keep the Rams here and is also now working with Hitch compiling opponent video?
No, I did not give him all that background info. I kind of figure if he puts up that free Dotem sign on the game Saturday, that you guys will probably interview him on Monday when he's in town, and you could backfill him on all the rest. Maybe even give him an invite to the golf tournament on Friday.
I don't think so. the free Dotem campaign is based on vileness. He won't be freed.
Well,
there's no need.
This is true, but it's also a very fun jest as well. The banter, it just adds to the banter, as you said.
Banter, banter, banter.
I like that you say tournament, morning commute.
You're an
East Coast guy?
Of course.
I was raised near the Philadelphia area, which makes me a Flyers and Blues fan. So, you know, I pull every year for a Flyers-Blues final.
Doug, if you grew up in Philadelphia, you love the Flyers and love the Blues.
Why would you love the Blues in Philly?
Philadelphia is a great town, by the way. My wife is from there.
Well, you know, there's an easy reason for that. I was a young kid when the Flyers won the Stanley Cup. You know, I'm not young. I'm up there. And so they won the Stanley Cup 2 years in a row, so that got me hooked. And I'm sorry, you can't shake that off. But I also was a musician, which obviously led me to enjoy that Blue Note logo. How can you diss on the Blue Note logo?
What instrument you play, buddy?
I play clarinet, trumpet, and oboe.
Huh? The licorice stick.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, Johnny.
All right, you guys have a great morning. Let's look for that sign on Saturday at noon.
Doug, look for the sign.
Enjoy your morning commute.
And from now on, if you call him, we're going to call you Johnny Clarinet, because I like that.
Mm-hmm.
He plays the clarinet.
I played the clarinet, as you know, in middle school. I thought I was being called the next Benny Goodman.
Where are you going to be the next?
Yeah, that's right.
Guys, morning commute sucks. Thanks.
No.
David Klein of Hedonism from the KMOX studio.
All right, if David Klein says it, then he does. Did anyone else notice this guy watching the game last night? Beige sport coat guy who was right on the ice.
I didn't notice this guy.
And he would stand up and he would bang the glass for some, like, any time.
Oh, that's probably the guy he's talking about.
And he would bang the... No, there's a different guy.
That has the hashtag
this
bang.
This is a guy in a beige sport coat that for no reason would get... He would yell something, get all fired up, and then just... out of anger, starts smashing the glass. And I thought to myself, sit down, baseball coach.
We got a break. We have Kelly Chase joining us, brought to you by GFI Digital. That is coming your way in a matter of moments here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. We go into the Tease Farms, 9 o'clock hour on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and inside STL.com live from the Gateway Beer GMC Studios.